Welcome to our series on the study of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. This provides a very interesting understanding of the history of the children of Israel during the monarchical period. And the purpose behind this study is that we might appreciate the character, the ability, and the productivity of these kings, so that we can apply them to our own lives, and where they erred, well, we can correct, if I could say this, the tendencies in our own lives that might produce the same errors that they entered into. But before we study this period, we must look at the previous history of Israel in the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom was governed by three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And these three kings ruled the whole of the kingdom of Israel. Now, the reason for the monarchical period was simply this, that the people had backslidden in heart, and as Samuel grew older, they said, well, we want a king like other nations. And Samuel was very displeased. But God said, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them. For God wanted to reign over Israel through the prophets. But the people said, no, we want a king like other nations. And so God gave them in his anger a king. And that man was Saul of the tribe of Benjamin. Now Saul was called of God and he was chosen of God. But there are three categories, if I could say this in life, called, chosen, and found faithful. Saul was certainly called of God, chosen of God, but he was not faithful. In fact, he did not obey God. And God, in the end, cast him off and became his enemy. Well, he was replaced by David. And David was called a man after God's own heart. And God said, David will do all my will. And this is what God is looking for, you see, in our lives, that we will do all the will of God that he has purposed for us. Well, David was anointed three times. He was called as a young man at the age of 17. Then at the age of 30, he was anointed to be king over Judah. And then at the age of 37, he had his third anointing, faithfulness. He was faithful in all that God had ordained for him. Well, David was replaced by Solomon. And Solomon, yes, he was called, he was chosen, but in his latter days, he too, like Saul, was not faithful, and God in the end became his enemy. Now, we want to realize this, that what God wants from us is that when we are called of God, we respond. We go through the trials, the furnace of affliction, that we might be chosen of God. And then, having been chosen of God, we are found faithful to do all the will of God. Well, in actuality, only David fulfilled those three conditions. But because of the disobedience of Solomon, God said, I'm going to divide the kingdom after your death into two, the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And that essentially is where we are now. We are going to study what is called the divided kingdom. And first of all, we're going to study the kings of Judah, who occupied the throne of King David, and indeed entered into all the promises that God had made to David, as long as they were obedient, of course, to God. Well, we come now to the death of Solomon. And at the death of Solomon, The people came to his eldest son, Rehoboam, and they said this, "You know, your father was very hard, and he treated us harshly. But if you will treat us kindly, we will serve you." Well, Rehoboam went to the elders who had been the counselors of King Solomon, and he said, "Well, how shall I answer this people?" And they said, "If you are kind, merciful to them, they will serve you forever." Well, King Rehoboam, who was 41 years of age at this time, turned then to the younger men, the people of his own age, and he said, "What response should I give to the people?" And they said, "Look, you respond like this. Solomon treats you harshly, but I will treat you with far greater severity." What a counsel to give to a king. But foolishly, King Rehoboam actually took the counsel of the younger people. And this was in the mind of God, because God wanted to divide the kingdom. And so he caused Rehoboam to make this foolish choice. You know, there are some things that we have to learn in life, that as we are with others, so God will be with us. And we are dependent on the mercy of God for every detail of our life. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 16, he says this, "You know, it's not of him that striveth, not of him that willeth, but it is of God who showeth mercy." In other words, to make right decisions, to do the right thing in life, depends on the mercy of God, conditioning our heart to do the right thing. You see, the Word of God says this, that in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1, the preparation or the disposing of the heart comes from God. In other words, it's God who controls our heart. And he will cause us to make the right decisions if we are kind and merciful. He will cause us to make the right decisions if we seek him to do righteously. But if not, we shall make the wrong decision. We will make errors of judgment, as Rehoboam did. And the result was his foolish response to the children of Israel when they came to him. Cause them to say, "Well, what have we to do with the tribe of David? What have we to do with David's sons or his heirs? No, we are going to go our own way." And they chose as a king Jeroboam. Now, we will study the life of Jeroboam when we come to the kings of Israel. But essentially, Jeroboam led them into idolatry. Well, Rehoboam realized his foolishness but could do nothing else afterwards. And he had to be content with just reigning over the tribe of Judah. But of course, in the Word of God, it was the tribe of Judah that had all the promises and inherited also the promises that God had given to King David. Now then, we're looking at Rehoboam because there are lessons in his life that we need to understand. Why indeed did he make these very foolish decisions? Why did he make a decision that lost for him half the inheritance that he should have had, the other 10 tribes of Israel? Well, we are told the reason, that he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. In other words, we could say Rehoboam was a king who did not keep the law of God. And I want to challenge you as we leave the life of Rehoboam to consider this one thing, that if we do not seek God, and if we do not prepare our heart before God by prayer and by the reading of the Word of God, then we too shall not find grace in God's sight to make the right choices in life. And how many people do I know? And here I am at the age of 80. How many people do I know who started so well and made errors of judgment? They had such ability, but they made errors of judgment. Why? Because they did not seek the Lord. They did not prepare their hearts before the Lord, that God could indeed show them mercy and that they would make the right decisions in life. Well, you know, I would just say this as we leave the life of Rehoboam, that the Word of God will indeed make you wise, and you will follow godly counsel to the benefit of your soul. So I want to leave Rehoboam's life with that awesome warning, that if we are like Rehoboam and we do not prepare our hearts before the Lord, we shall not receive the mercy of God to make the right decisions in our life. And those decisions, of course, will determine how we finish life. Well, we come now to the son of Rehoboam, and his name is Abijam. And I have got this little phrase to describe him: mighty but unacceptable. Mighty but unacceptable. And how do I, you know, decide that? Well, it's from his life. God, first of all, gave him a remarkable victory. A victory over the tribes of Israel who vastly outnumbered him. And he cried out to God, and God gave him a wonderful, wonderful victory. But you know, abilities are one thing, but they have to be cradled in a godly character to be indeed beneficial in our life. So here was a king that God gave a remarkable victory to. But what is spoken of concerning this king? How his life encapsulation? How is it looked at from God's point of view? Well, this is what God says. But his heart was not perfect with the Lord, and he walked in all the sins of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, you know, permitted all kinds of idolatry to come into the kingdom, all kinds of immorality. And here we're looking at a king, Abijam, who had a remarkable victory, but rejected by God because of his character. And we've got to be very careful of this. You see, we are judged on character, ability, and productivity. And there are many people to whom God has given many abilities, but you see, not being cradled in a godly character, those abilities are really worthless. And so it was with Abijam. A mighty victory, and you thought, oh, what a wonderful man. But God's appraisal was, oh, look at his character. He does not walk with me. He walks in all the sins of his father, and there he is, mighty, but unacceptable by God. Well, we don't want to be like that. Now then, we come to the third ruler, Asa. And, what we can learn from him. And we have to spend quite a lot of time looking at the character of Asa. You see, Asa considered those who had gone before him, and he made a decision not to walk in their ways. And so we are introduced to Asa as a king who did that which was right in the sight of God. And the result was that God gave unto the country prosperity and rest. And also, there was a mighty victory given to Asa. The Ethiopians came up from the south. They walked through Egypt. They came up through Palestine. And here were 1 million soldiers coming against virtually the tiny kingdom of Judah. But Asa, because his heart was right, you know, had such faith, had such confidence. And he said to the Lord, you know, nothing is too hard for God. And he encouraged the people. He said, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now then, God gave him a very wonderful victory. A victory over 1 million men. I mean, it was an outstanding victory. And after this victory, a prophet came with a message from God for the king. What was that message? Well, it was essentially this. The Lord is with you whilst you be with him. Now, that's a very awesome message. You see, so many of God's promises are conditional. And we have to understand that. You know, we say, well, God is with us. Oh, yes. But God lays down certain conditions for being with us. And here it was with Asa. Yes, I'm with you. I've given you this great victory. And as long as you walk with me, I will be with you. Now, Asa had a very long reign, a very long reign indeed. In fact, it was about 40 years, 41 years. And here his start was very good. But you know, God is interested in the end product too. And you know, we get tested at the beginning of our lives. Are we going to trust God in trials? Are we going to walk with God? And when we're young, perhaps we make the decision, yes, I'm going to walk with God. I have determined as a young man to walk with God, to read his word, to pray, to go to church, and walk with the wise and be a companion of the righteous and refuse, you know, evil companions. Well, Asa apparently made that decision. But you see, as we go on in life, we have got to kindle that fire constantly in our hearts. You know, William Booth, you know, as he was about to die, he gathered his, leaders around him. And this was the warning that he gave them. He said, keep the fire burning, for the nature of fire is always to go out. And we have to stoke up the fire of God constantly in our hearts so that the initial fire, the initial love for God that we have when we're first converted remains and grows more brightly as we get older. Well, now with Asa, You see, we come to his 36th year on the throne. And God is going to test him now, if I could say this, in his old age. How is he going to respond? Because, you see, it's not only how we begin, but how we finish. You know, the end product. And so, what happens? God raises up Baasha, who is the king of Israel at this time, and he came against Judah. Now, he came with an army that was not as great as the Ethiopians. But Asa, instead of encouraging his people to trust in the Lord against this new enemy, what does he do? Well, regretfully, he goes to the king of Syria. He goes to the king of Syria for help. And he says to the king of Syria, you know, stop helping the king of Israel. And he offered him all kinds of treasures from the temple, from his house. And Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, hearkened to him and broke his alliance with Baasha, king of Israel, so that the king of Israel could not come against Judah. But there we were, faced with a situation. Asa is being tested. He's being tested by God. What is his heart like? Well, his heart had grown cold. His heart had become hardened. Instead of looking to God for victory as he had looked, you know, for victory against the Ethiopians, you know, Asa looks on, shall I say, a horizontal plane instead of a vertical plane. And the result was, he was rebuked by the Lord. He was rebuked by the Lord. And, you know, a prophet of God came and rebuked him for having trusted in, shall I say, this alliance with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, instead of looking to the Lord. God was mightily displeased and disappointed with the king who had started so well. And the result was, you see, the heart of King Asa was hardened, and instead of accepting this rebuke, he went and imprisoned the prophet. He became filled with anger. And then God smote him in his feet, and his feet were diseased, and he died. And we're told the reason he died, because he went to the physicians and not to God. You see, God was seeking to bring Asa back to him, even by this sickness. But Asa would not. And he went to the physicians. There's nothing wrong in going, of course, to doctors. Please don't misunderstand me. But in this particular trial, he should have gone to God, realizing that God was speaking to him by this sickness to bring him back to himself. And Asa would not. And now, you know, I want to consider, as we close this section, on a very remarkable word from God by the prophet to the king. And it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. And here it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him." In other words, the prophet is saying, look, King Asa, you know, God wants to show himself strong. God wants to show himself as the, shall I say, the captain of the Lord of hosts, the captain of the armies of Judah. He wants to give you a mighty victory, but instead, because your heart was not perfect towards him, he was not able to show himself strong on your behalf. And I want to leave this study with you. We've considered these kings. Rehoboam, Abijam, and now Asa. You see, in a certain sense, they all started well, but they did not finish well. And this is what we've got to watch in life. It's not only how we begin, that's very important indeed, making the right decisions when we're young, because, you know, when we're young, we can make some horrible decisions and ruin our lives. But, you see, it's not only how we begin, but how we finish life. And the lessons from these kings is simply this. To begin well is not sufficient. It's how we end. And may God grant that we have learnt the lessons of these kings, and we have the determination in our heart that in every trial we will look to God, not to man. And that this scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 will be applicable to the whole of our life, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. May our heart be perfect, that he can always be strong on our behalf, and that he can indeed give us victory after victory, that we might glorify him, and that our end might be good, and that we might hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God bless you.